So dan gaan we wat werk hier trouwens gewoon. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about Kibbutz Galios. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a kibbutz called Tirach Tzvi, which is named after Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, so author of the Drishas Tzion. And Drishas Tzion deals with a practical program for restoring the Avodas HaKorbanos. It's amazing. At the Chavura on Thursday, Rabbi Charlap told the following story. He said when he was young, probably when he was a teenager, he was going through his grandfather's letters, and he found a letter from the Chafetz Chaim, in which the Chafetz Chaim asked Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Charlap if Rabbi Charlap possibly could go to the Sultan of Turkey in Istanbul and ask for permission for the Chafetz Chaim to bring Karban Pesach on the Har Habayis, because he wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael, wanted to make Aliyah, he wanted to bring a Karban Pesach. So Rabbi Chalap said that his grandfather responded that it's just as far from Yerushalayim to Istanbul as it is from Radin to Istanbul. And at the end of the day, the Gedolim of Europe didn't allow the Chafetz Chaim to leave them. He felt that he hooed too much or was too critical of the Jewish community there to go anywhere else. But he said he had that letter. The Chafetz Chaim wanted to bring a Karban Pesach. And there are a number of difficulties that need to be surmounted in order to allow someone to bring a Karban Pesach. Some of them are identifying what is Cheles and Argamon. If you assume that the Bigdei Kahuna being dyed properly are Ma'akev, so you have to identify what type of dyes they are. Maybe other issues as well. But perhaps the main issue that was discussed back and forth was the issue of Yehusei Kohanim. Kohanim nowadays don't have witnesses to testify that they're genuine Kohanim, going all the way back Ben Achar Ben to Aaron HaKohen, or to someone who we know for sure was certified to be a bona fide descendant of Aaron HaKohen. And they don't have certificates. We presume that they're Kohanim. They're Kohani Chazaka. That's all they are. There's a Chazaka that they're Kohanim. And so that seems to pose a very big difficulty, because for a non-Kohen to do the Avoda is an Isser D'Oraisa. So we might not want to take the risk and have a non-Kohen do the Avoda. On the other hand, Avoda is a mitzvah D'Oraisa, and if you are a Kohen and you neglect that mitzvah, then you're being mevatel mitzvah sasei. If you have the opportunity to do it, or even the opportunity to get the opportunity to do it, and you neglect that, so then you're being mevatel mitzvah sasei. So if you can safek kohanim, if they don't do the avoda, they're taking a chance of being mevatel mitzvah sasei. If they do the avoda, they're taking a chance of being over on an iser. So that's one cheshbon. So maybe Shev al Tasa is better. In general, Shev al Tasa is better, so perhaps they shouldn't. Maybe if you weigh balance, so the potential loss of doing the avoda, maybe in this case, is less than the potential loss of not doing the avoda. So Zvi Hirsch argues that if you do the avoda, then worse comes to worse, then someone who's not a kohen did the avoda. But he says if you don't do the avoda, so then we'll never get Mashiach. He brings a whole bunch of proofs that we need to restore the Avodas HaKorbanos before Mashiach comes.
Yes. I was just wondering how that's an equal hashva, because by the Lo Taseh, so that's a suffix, whether it's going to happen or not. If it's by the Aseh, are we saying that, is that also a suffix, meaning if if he's a kohen, so then the avoda has been done. If he's not a kohen, is that saying that the avoda has not been done?
Because so we know what halacha is if he's a halal, if he's a descendant of the kohen and a grusha. So there we know, and they bring this up, we know that a halal does avoda, it's kosher b'diavad.
Oh, so then
there's a question about whether the same is true for a zar, for non-kohen who does the avoda. That may be a question. There's also a question when we talk about the kohanim nowadays not being absolutely certainly kohanim, is that because we're worried that they're halalim? Or is that because we're worried that they're zarim? So if the concern is that they're halalim, well, halalim is kasher b'diavad. So again, the risk is not such a great risk. If it's because they're zarim, if avodas hazar is kasher b'diavad, and again, not such a great risk. It's only if they're zarim. The concern is that maybe some kohanim are really non-kohanim, and avodas zar is pasul b'diavad. So then, the two of them end up seeming more equal, iser versus a bitul mitzvah. Zalman Nehemiah Goldberg has a piece about this. I'm trying to remember exactly what he says. There's a colloquial between the Tzlach and the Pnei Yoshua about, oh, that's what it was. So Reb Tzvi's Kalisher is arguing that it's absolutely critical. There's no other option. Well, let's see. Number one, he's arguing it's absolutely critical, because if you don't bring Karbanos, then where's Mashiach going to come from? Some people say, well, when the 10 tribes return, so they had fewer trials and tribulations than we did, so maybe they're still going to have certificates. Go Al-Pi Edim, all the way back to the times of the Beis HaMikdash. That was what we see for Avoda Tama, which was a lengthy response to Jishas Tzion. That was one of the arguments that he made. Maybe the Kohanim Yuhasim will come from the 10 tribes. But the Drisha Sium made a second argument, and the Chasam Sofer actually gave a haskama to this argument. And he said, I understand in a time and place where there are lots of certified Kohanim, you can insist on having certified Kohanim. But Bizman Azeh, there are no certified Kohanim. And so we just have to go with what we've got, which is Kohani Chazaka. So Rav Zalman Nechemya quotes a machlokes between the Tzlach and the Pnei Yoshua. Let's say that the Torah says, don't do the following. A zar should not do avoda. Can we say that because there's no alternative, therefore a zar can't do the avoda? Or can we not say that? So he says that is a machlokes between the Tzlach and the Pnei Yeshua, whether we can say that when the Torah says explicitly, Zar may not do avoda, can we just come along and say that, well, there's no alternative, so we'll allow a Zar, or a Safik Zar, to do the avoda. Lacking on the rest of the details, but that's how he formulates it. And so that also is something which may change the balance, say, in terms of either there won't be avoda, or it's very unlikely there will be avoda, or there will be avoda and we'll take this risk. The Chazon Ish makes the following points. Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes a Maharshal who says that it could be that the number of Kohanim who claim to be Kohanim nowadays, who are really, really Kohanim, is under 50%. Marshall's speculation. If that's the case, then it means that mid-diuraisa, you'd have to say Rove. If Kohen gets up to do the Avoda, Al-Pi Rove, he's not a Kohen. And that would be very serious, because it means that Al-Pi Rove, mid-diuraisa, he's not a Kohen, so of course he can't do the Avoda. Ricky Vager, he quotes this Marshall, I think, more than once. in his opposition to the Drish HaTzion. Drish HaTzion says that Rabbi Kiviger ultimately was masking to him. And it's not so hard to overcome this objection of the Marshal, because it's a little bit of a very radical suggestion. More than 50% of people who claim that they're Kohanim nowadays are not really Kohanim. It's incredibly mechudash. Others say if you look closely at the Marshal, it doesn't really say more than 50%. Maybe he has comments in other places where he gives other numbers, less than 50%, close to 50% doesn't mean more than 50%. So you have basically midyoraisa, a rove, that any Kohen presumably comes from the rove who are real Kohanim. There's a myriad of people who claim to be Kohanim nowadays who are not, but the Kohen probably comes from the rove. There's a takana de rabbanon, then, because it can't be the midyoraisa. You need a Kohen miyuchas. Midyoraisa, you can rely on the rove. So it must be, says the Chazon Ish, that there's a takana de rabbanon that says that you need to have an extra measure of certainty in order to determine that a person's a Kohen miyuchas. But the parameters of that takana de rabbanon may not apply to the Kohanim bisman hazeh. It may only have applied in a time and place where you were able to establish yichus. It may be, he says, that just like chalalim are asidim liitayr, it's last week's discussion, that Eliyahu Navi might, according to Tosfos and the Ravid, even though this is against the Rambam and the Ramban, Tosfos and the Ravid say that when Eliyahu Navi comes, he's going to know that certain people are chalalim, and he's going to keep quiet. He's not going to say, you're a chalal, you can't do the avoda. He'll let them do the avoda. What about the Isser of Zar? Zar, Shashimi, Shagavi, Mizbeah. He's going to let a Zar keep on doing the avoda. He's going to let a Chalal keep on doing the avoda. So, Tosfos and the Rebbe will say, yeah, that as long as they are identified, no one can de-identify them as a Kohen, so their avoda is going to be Shira, Lechet Chila. So Eliyahu Navi doesn't have to take them away because they're being over b'shogeg or over b'misasig. He doesn't have to do anything because they may have the status of Kohanim. That's who they identify themselves as. And since they came to identify themselves that way, not because of lack of sensitivity on their part to the Kavod Kahuna, and not because of lack of sensitivity on the part of the other Kohanim, so they can continue to identify that way and enjoy all the privileges and responsibilities of Kohanim. So he adds that into the mix. He says that it could be that the Chachamim do give us a certain way of recertifying Kohanim, even though you can't go all the way back, but check a couple of generations past, Digas Arba Imahus, and that might suffice for something as well. So that the Chazon Ish seems to be leaning, although in the end of the day he's not 100% sure, but he seems also to lead in the direction of the Drish HaTzion and of the Chasam Sofer, that the yichus of the Kohanim should not pose such a major issue. To check the mother and the two grandmothers and great-grandmother of the Kohen, to make sure that all of them were Ksherim and not Grushas or Azonas or Chalalas. That way you know that at least over the last couple of generations, assuming that the fathers were all Kohanim Ksherim, there's no B'dikas Avos, but if you do the B'dikas Imahos, he says then you can rely on the fact that there's a robe and that there is this identification with Kahuna, and that the Takana Derabanan might not have been meant to apply to situations such as ours, where it's so difficult to meet all of its requirements, and put those three together, and perhaps you can rely on Kohani Chazaka to do the avoda. One of the rayos that the Drish HaTzion brings is from Birkas Kohanim. Birkas Kohanim, there is an isser for a non-Kohen to do Birkas Kohanim. What about when parents give bracha to their children on Shabbos, b'shliach tzibur, in Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu? So over there, that's not really Birkas Kohanim. It's not being done with intention to fulfill the mitzvah of Birkas Kohanim. It's being done ad rabba, perhaps with intention not to fulfill the mitzvah of Birkas Kohanim. And so that doesn't violate the prohibition. The whole prohibition for a non-Kohen to give Birkas Kohanim is for a non-Kohen to get up and give Birkas Kohanim in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Birkas Kohanim. But there is a prohibition. So if nowadays there's an uncertainty about whether our Kohanim are Kohanim or whether they're not Kohanim, then they're violating the Safek D'oraisa every single time that they go up to do Birkas Kohanim. Well, what justifies that? There's a mitzvah of Kohanim Baruch Hu B'nei Yisrael. If they stay behind, so they're being mevatel the mitzvah of Kohanim Baruch Hu B'nei Yisrael, of giving people Birkas Kohanim. Well, I'll tell you a good solution. Like, the only time that they're being mevatel the mitzvah is if they're in shul at a certain point in Chazar Sashatz. So all of the Kohani Chazaka maybe should just leave at that point, or at least no one should tell them, you know, that time for the Kohanim to, you know, to go out. And so then they won't be mevatel the mitzvah. Justin says, we see the fact that they don't do that, that even passing up the opportunity to have an opportunity to do a mitzvah is considered a bittul of that mitzvah saseh. So if they left shul and lost the opportunity to be chayiv in Birkas Kohanim, so they would also be, you know, be mevatel the mitzvah saseh. So the Drish HaSzion thinks that it's exactly parallel. Just like they're doing Birkas Kohanim, they're also, they also should be allowed to do the avodah. The factors are perfectly even. Rabbi Kiviger says back to that, he says, are they perfectly even? They've been doing Birkas Kohanim for centuries, or they or their ancestors. And so therefore we can say that's what a chazaka is. The essence of being a Kohen Shel Chazaka is that we allow you to continue doing things that you've been doing up until now. So the momentum carries you forwards. But to do new things that you haven't been doing until now, even if they're the same level of stringency and of severity, that is not necessarily something that a chazaka can justify. So Vicky Vager says, those things that they've begun to do will allow them to continue doing, and those things that they have not begun to do, we're not going to let them start doing. Again, this was before he retracted and gave his haskama to Tzvi Hirsch Kelscher. Tzvi Hirsch Kelscher was a student of Rabbi Kiva Eger, so see how he writes about him to my dear Rabbi, my esteemed Rabbi. They had a very good connection. You can judge from the letters. On the other side of the story, there is Tshuva of the Marashtam. It's on the other side of the story. And basically, the Tshuva of the Marashtam was dealing with the following question, that there was the wife of a Kohen who was captured by bandits, and Kohen wanted to stay married to her. So the question came to the Marashtam, Rav Shmuel di Medina, do they have to separate, or are they allowed to remain together? And the Marashtam was matir based on a Svek Sveika. Said Safek, that maybe this Shibuya didn't become a Zona while in captivity. She probably made herself unattractive, so the captors probably didn't really want to have anything to do with her, and so she probably remained pure and unsoiled in spite of her captivity. Safek, at least a Safek. And on the other hand, this Kohen, maybe he's really a Kohen, maybe he's not a Kohen. So it's a Svek Sveika. Maybe the Kohen's not a Kohen. Maybe the captive is not a Zona. And so you got Svek Sveika, Ames Hapich, and he was matir them to stay together. So this would seem to indicate that it's not like a rule or a strong presumption that this Kohen is really a Kohen. But it seems to be a relatively weak presumption. At least it's a Safek HaShakol. And so Rabbi Kiviger again raised this Marashtam as a point against the ability of Kohanim to assume that they're almost certainly Kohanim and do the Avoda. How does one resolve the fact that Kohanim have this kula, that they're married to a woman who was captured, they're allowed to stay with her, and at the same time, they're allowed to keep on doing Birkas Kohanim? Like, they seem to be mutually exclusive. So Rabbi Kiviger says, well, there's a chazaka, but isn't there also a chazaka that they're Kohanim, that they shouldn't marry zonas or halalas or grushas? So Moshe Feinstein has a beautiful thought. He says, in order to establish a chazaka, you need to be in a certain situation and act in the manner that a Kohen would act in that situation. Well, to do Birkas Kohanim, Kohanim are in that situation pretty much a couple of times a year, at each of the Moadim. And so a Kohen can establish a chazaka for being a Kohen vis-a-vis Birkas Kohanim. But to not marry a zona, a person needs to be in a situation where someone suggests a shidduch with them, who's a grusha or a halal or a zona, then they have to decline the shidduch because they're a Kohen. So how many times does a Kohen have the opportunity to establish a chezkas Kohen vis-a-vis surim? Moshe Feinstein says it's not so common at all.
He wouldn't mean just also just to remain to be required to divorce his wife after she was nansa or something of the sort. So that wasn't common enough at all. First of all, what would be the sheer?
Baruch Hashem, the Jewish women were not habitually captured. Sometimes you read certain parts of the Gemara, you might get the sense that.
Is Rav Moshe speaking on the same alumnus as Rabbi Kiviger? Are you saying that your behavior has to be established within a particular context? Is that what he's saying?
Rabbi Kiviger was just pointing out that what you have a chazaka for, you have a chazaka for, and what you don't. Rav Moshe is pointing out that a chazaka for being a Kohen vis-a-vis Grusha of a Halal of a Zona, it might not be the same. I think he's conceptually saying that something very similar to Rikiv Eger, that it's not a very, very strong presumption. It's a relatively weak presumption. But wherever we have that presumption, we have to continue, acting based on the presumption. But where the presumption is absent, so then you don't necessarily have to. And he points out that the presumption does seem to be absent, at least when it comes to these issues. Now, that doesn't mean that the Kohani Chazaka nowadays are allowed to go out and marry genuine grushas, v'chalalas, v'zonas, because midei safik lo yatsanu, and there's probably a rove. The marshal is pretty far out when he says that it's only a minority of people that pretend to be kohanim nowadays who are really kohanim. So there probably is a rove midei raisa, but at the same time, it might not be as strong of a chazaka as a chazaka which allows kohanim to do birkas kohanim.
But because kohanim, the first time a kohen does sing chazaka.
Well, maybe over the past 1,000 years, there have been at least a couple of shidduchim who were turned down, and so that should create a chazaka.
I have to run. This is what I'm saying.